Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
Up, sodomites, and welcome to the Sinister Sissies podcast, your guide to true crime, horror, and everything man on man and macabre. I'm Jared, your master of depravity, and I'm here with my filthy little slave, Sam Hamilton. How are you doing in lockdown, Sam?
Good evening, everybody. Look, my lockdown is satisfactory, a bit to be desired, but what I am grateful for is the very respectful relationship that I have with my master, Jared, because today we're talking about some seriously not okay Dom sub type stuff.
Yes, we're dealing with a topic that is it's a bit sensitive. It's to do with a fairly recent death, the death of Jack Chapman, also known as Pup Tank, who died on the 15th of October in 2018 at just 28 years old. Chapman died as a result of modifying his body with silicon injections to the scrotum as part of this kind of pup play scene that he was in Seattle. Now, this is a victim who has died recently, and there is a lot of commentary surrounding his death. So we are going to be a bit more sensitive in this podcast, maybe a little less light than normal. Well, I don't know if you found this, Sam, but just researching Chapman's death has just shown me the worst side of media ever. Like, the reactions that have come about as a result of his death have just been ridiculous. They've either been this really juvenile, like, look at this weird thing that happened type reaction, where I'm like, a guy fucking died.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have that reaction to that.
Yeah, this isn't like tabloid gossip, although he was a minor celebrity.
Or I've seen even some weird things from what I'm assuming people who describe themselves as quite progressive, who have looked at this death and then have said, oh, don't be judgmental at all. Don't kink shame. You know, everything was fine here. And like, that to me is an equally problematic way of looking at this case.
Yeah, there's not really any way to beat around it not being somewhat abusive, you know.
We're going to be careful in the sense that we don't actually know all the facts in relation to this case. We're relying on secondary information. There is an upcoming court case, which I think is going to clarify some of the issues that we raise. But rest assured, the Chapman story is not a simple one. And if you have heard of this story and you either thought, oh, this was clearly fucked up and mentally unwell and all that sort of stuff, I think that you're incorrect. Similarly, if you thought that this was perfectly fine and that there was nothing going on that raised some questions, I think that's an equally incorrect position. But before we get to Chapman's story, though, I thought, like, we might do a bit of kink 101. I might test your brain, Sam.
Okay, Master. Sounds sounds kinky.
You sound terrified.
Well, look, my kink vice is kind of strictly to threesomes and foursomes. I haven't explored very much, so I'm ready to be educated.
You're ready to be educated. Okay, well, okay. If I was to talk about BDSM, you would have a rough idea of what I was talking about. That there, so it encompasses like a whole bunch of different things. So you've got like bondage stuff where people are restrained. You've got discipline stuff where people are kind of spanked or told off or controlled in some way. And you've also got that kind of sadomasochism thing where people are playing with pain.
Yeah, I guess I have dabbled lightly in all these things.
Yeah,
you're right.
You're a bit of a kinky boy. Probably not as kinky as me.
I mean, I want to be. I'm up for it. Definitely not as kinky as you. Like, you have like a bloody torture cupboard.
I do have a torture cupboard. There's a lot of things going on here. I think kink can encompass so many different things that I don't think we should really generalize. It can encompass things like humiliation stuff or like bodily fluid stuff. Like, lots of things can come under the umbrella of kink. One thing that I do want to focus on, though, is people that are really attracted to sex and relationships that involve some degree of power imbalance. So this kind of dominant, submissive type of power imbalance. Now, Sam, do you know what pup play is?
My understanding is that it involves one person in a very strong degree of power who's sort of like the master figure. And the pup is sort of like their toy almost, or their... It's in like an authoritative relationship that they have over the other person. Like, my vanilla understanding.
It's an extension of that dob-sub, like dominant, submissive relationship, but you've moved into a thing where you've kind of got like a handler-pup dynamic. And in the world of kink, of the problematic, potentially problematic fantasies that you have, handler pup is like the least problematic of the things. And this is like not insignificant in the gay scene amongst like gay and bisexual men. I don't know. Have you seen the pups around?
I have seen the pups around. I saw them at, I saw some pup action, I think at, I went to a kink festival in February.
When you look at surveys of like fantasies to do with power play or pain and all these other things, like, a large percentage of the population are into this stuff. Like, I wouldn't even think that it's fair to call this sort of stuff abnormal. I think people that actively practice it are probably in the minority, but in terms of people that have these types of fantasies, I think it's like at least a third of the population had these fantasies.
Yeah, well, however they're explored, you know, I mean, you might not directly participate in a relationship, but like things that people like to read or watch that kind of showcase these kinds of dynamics, they're definitely not uncommon.
These fantasies are really common. And I also just want to normalize that, like, although to an outside observer, having a dominant and a submissive can seem like a recipe for abuse, that's not the primary motivation of why people are involved in these things. People are involved in these things because either it involves transgressing taboos and they have like really good sex as a result of it, or even it's like an escape from everyday life.
A healthy detachment.
You can consciously make a decision to put yourself at risk for the sake of some sort of expression, whether it's body modification or, you know, S&M or anything like that. Like, I want 100% say that adults should be able to do that. But they should be in the right mindset when they do that. And this case just screams a whole bunch of red flags of people acting childishly. I'm not saying that they're criminally or legally responsible, but they definitely acted childishly. The final point that I want to make is that this BDSM relationships and practices and things like that are not fucking therapy. So if you have a mental health issue, don't use these things to treat yourself. Go see a mental health professional, because I think that that's also a factor that underpins a lot of this story, is that people have a lot of maybe body dysmorphic things going on or other mental health issues going on, and they think that they can solve it through BDSM. It should be about expression and it should be about pleasure. It should not be about therapy. And now I'm done with my lecturing corner and my rant.
Fun Escapism 101, that's the closest we'll get to a Sinister Sissy's PSA.
But let's focus specifically on the life of Jack Chapman. Chapman was born where we're from. So he was born in Melbourne, Australia. He became fascinated in the blog of San Francisco-based Dylan Ray Hafferton. And now I keep mispronouncing his name, so I'm just going to call him what his subs called him, which was Master Dylan. So Master Dylan had a degree of fame in the San Francisco S&M scene, in particular the kind of pup play scene. He frequently posted pictures of him and his pups and also ran a blog and a newsletter under the name Noodles and Beef. I don't know what the implications with Noodles and Beef is. It's not the most sexy name in the world.
There are a lot of fan blogs and like worship blogs and investigative blogs. So surely there's an answer out there somewhere.
Someone explain this to us. It's going over our head. He was very well known. So Master Dylan had a husband, but also a series of other partners. And they all kind of looked like him. These were all kind of really big, buff, gay guys who were really burly, and they were heavily involved in social media, which is another dynamic to this that I think is very interesting, that all these guys were focused on getting as big and big as possible, and some of them started to do this silicon injecting type stuff, which I'll explain a little bit later, and it was partially done for Master Dylan, but it was also done for this fan base that they had, that Master Dylan had developed over time.
Yeah, well, part of the aesthetic wasn't just to be, like really big and thick, like, physically. It was also, you know, for the scrotal area to match.
Yeah, it was this engorgement type stuff, which is an interesting form of body modification. But as we'll see, it comes with some risks. Chapman first spoke to Master Dylan on OkCupid, and they began an online relationship. Remember OkCupid?
OkCupid is just not the place I would have expected these two to meet. It was, when I read that, I actually wondered if it was true.
I know. I was just like a FetLife or something. Yeah.
Well, just the fact that like both of them already were sort of somewhat like media personalities within their community. I'm surprised that, you know, it took like a really like white bread dating site for them to cross paths.
Also, I don't know how you match on OkCupid with someone overseas, but anyway.
Look, very specific requests.
Enlarged testicle tick. In 2011, Chapman visited San Francisco for 5 days. I believe it was during February and felt like a Valentine's Day weekend, where he got to experience the pup play subculture firsthand for the first time and realized that it was really for him. And that's when he met Master Dylan and decided that he wanted to be part of this kind of polyamorous group that Master Dylan had set up for him and his pups. When Chapman returned to Australia, Master Dylan sent him a pup contract for the two of them. And Sam, I was wondering, since you are my little slave, whether or not you wanted to read the pup contract.
Oh, it'd be my pleasure, Master. So the contract reads as follows. Master has explicit body goals for his pup regarding their weight, their muscle mass, their measurements, and their proportions. The pup will make all efforts possible to ensure these goals are realized and should never feel satisfied until his master is satisfied. There is always additional room for a pup to push their physical limits. Additionally, a pup will submit to all orders for body modification, including piercings, tattoos, scrotal saline inflation, as well as body growth supplements, including steroids and HGH, in accordance with wishes of the master. Master's word is law and must be trusted and obeyed. In an ideal mindset and subspace, master's word should override a pup's internal reality and should be accepted as absolute truth. A pup's social world is his master. Over the duration of his service, it is expected that social connections outside of one's master fall away until the pup is completely socially and emotionally dependent upon his master, finding contact with other people pointless, unfruitful, and unfulfilling. So, you know, it's not exactly a contract I'd be jumping up and down for.
So I've seen some criticism of people who have looked at this contract and they've been like, well, that's just inherently abusive. All of these things that are happening there is inherently abusive and coercive. I don't know, like, part of me kind of thinks this is like an exaggeration.
I mean, if I wasn't aware of the context of like the situation and how it played out, I would probably think the same thing, that it was sort of all part of like the game. At times it sounds like it was very much reality from what some people who knew the couple, you know, have since come out with.
Like, it is worded in a way that it seems like it's part of a fantasy. At least that was my reading.
Question marks are definitely there.
It's interesting to note, so Chapman died as a result of silicone injections into his scrotum. So if you look at the body modifications that are requested, it's piercings, tattoos, scrotal saline inflation, which is a lower risk procedure for people who want to have that inflation. It's like a salt fluid or a saline fluid, which your body readily reabsorbs, and people don't like it because it goes away because your body reabsorbs it. But that is a slightly, like, all of this shit is very high risk, but that is a slightly lesser risky procedure. Problematic shit, of course, is the kind of steroids and human growth hormone suggestions.
Well, and you will not have any friends.
Yeah, and the removal from socialization side of things. So I know people have seized on this as criticism, and yeah, if this was the absolute reality, I would agree that that's really problematic. But if this is a document which is kind of meant to be taken as a slightly fantastical one, I don't know. It depends on how both of them kind of mutually understood what this was. There's a lot of exaggeration and I think a lot of hyperbole in it. But it raises the kind of early signs of what other people have said about this, which is he's asking him to modify his body, and the master is also asking him to withdraw from friends. Soon after they entered into this contract, Chapman left Australia and moved in with Master Dylan, who at this point was in Seattle. He also at this point changed his name from Jack Chapman to Pup Tank Hafetepen. So he changed, first of all, his first name to his kind of pup name and his last name to Dylan's, which, again, I think if you're looking at this kind of coercive control stuff or like intimate partner violence stuff, that may be slightly of a red flag. All the other pups that Master Dylan had, though, also did this change. Like, it was kind of part of the initiation.
In the contract.
In the contract, yeah. So who is Master Dylan? So as I said, he was a kind of minor celebrity on the kink scene. He seemed to have developed his reputation as a result of getting really big. So if you see photos of him, he's like a huge guy. The Stranger actually noted that in early blog posts by Master Dylan, he was very open about the fact that he had significant body dysmorphia, and that he had always viewed himself as kind of skinny and underdeveloped and small. And so he was very motivated to take steroids and involve himself in certain kind of silicone and saline injections of his scrotum to kind of get bigger and bigger. Like, there was very much a wish to be as large as possible and to transform his body.
Well, he was also in a documentary, right, as well, about people who are like obsessed with becoming big.
Yeah, they called it like bigrexia. Yeah, bigrexia, or this kind of, this obsession of putting on as much muscle mass as possible and getting bigger and bigger.
It's actually interesting, though, that he acknowledges in that documentary that he did have like a really poor like sense of body image and self-esteem, that he hated the way that he looked.
Yeah, and this is this problematic thing with body modification, because, again, I think that people should be able to do whatever they want with their body. But I think there's a difference between, you know, like guys I know that are covered in tattoos and split their tongue and like insert horns in their heads and do all that sort of stuff. They're doing that for expression. Like, the way that they approach that kind of body modification is, you know, it's slightly about like freaking people out, and it's slightly about like it's about a dynamic of expressing who they are, as opposed to I feel like shit and I need to change myself, which I associate more with plastic surgery. But I don't know where the line is, to be honest. Like, what's the line between self-expression and self-hatred and I need to change?
You know, I think that's the tough thing. You know, there's not a definitive line.
Like, no one's ever 100% happy with their body and they work out. We all do things to change things about a body that we don't like. And at the threshold upon which this gets problematic is sometimes weird to draw. You know, in this case, he has admitted to using steroids and he has admitted to using kind of injections. So whether or not you want to say that's the point where we say, actually, that's not healthy, I don't know. I'm slapping a, it's complicated on this.
Suppose it just gets concerning when it starts to go into, like, you know, life-threatening territory, which I guess some of this stuff in this particular case, I guess, injecting silicone into your testicles. And it becomes complicated when you do hear those statements, like Master Dylan was saying that he, like, you know, like, hated the way he looked and stuff like that. So yeah, does it come from, like, a really dark place?
It's that idea of, am I taking a risk for my own self-expression or am I self-harming? There is that thing of gay men often fear being non-muscular because it's associated with being kind of effeminate and they want to sexualize being masculine, and then so therefore they get big. But I mean, is that pathological or is that just the nature of being gay?
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
We're asking a lot of big questions, but not answering any of them on this podcast.
We need to start like a Sinister City is like message board or maybe a support group at this point.
Let us know what you think of this, because I actually don't know what I think. Master Dylan got a reputation for growing his body and modifying his body online, and he also had a number of pups that he would act as the dominant towards, and that, you know, spurred his online following further. He had his pups wear padlock chains around their neck as a symbol of ownership over them.
I didn't actually know that that was what the padlock sort of represented. I've been wearing a padlock as a fashion statement for about 6 months now.
Who is your master?
You, obviously. Even on Saturday, I was
wearing
one.
Who's your handler?
I was just like, yeah, put it on my padlock.
You're a free-range pup. You don't need a handler. Many of his pups also had matching tattoos of Master Dylan's astrological sign. Gays. He was a Taurus. I don't know what that means because it's all bullshit, you fucking idiots.
That's all I know.
Some of the pups also had tattoos on their back that read property of Master Dylan.
Well, because didn't you have to earn that second part? Like, didn't you? So you got the star sign tattoo and then you would get the next bit, like when you sort of earned your place? Or was it the other way around?
I think the astrology sign came about later. I think the property of Master Dylan seems like it's just some of them. Again, a lot of critics point to this as being indicative of abuse, but then part of me is always kind of thinking, like, is this all part of the fun? Like, is this all part of the enjoyment that they have serving him? Master Dylan's Instagram amassed over 60,000 followers, and his weekly newsletter had more than 200,000 subscribers. His website had 2.2 million readers. So he got much better stats than our podcast is doing. Please support us on Patreon. So Chapman, at first in his relationship with Master Dylan, seemed to be happy. He seemed to be enjoying experiencing this dynamic in a way that he found pleasurable, although he was a little bit more withdrawn. Some people did point out that there was this weird Tumblr post that was put up
Yeah, it was accompanied by a photo too, which I saw and yeah, didn't look too happy. I will say as well, Jack actually had a really infectious smile, I noticed. Like in a lot of photos, he actually looks like he made me want to smile when I saw him smiling. So this next photo did not have that effect. So accompanied by this photo, he wrote, "I am shit. I am a shit person. I do horrible and inexcusable things. I'm dishonest. I'm deceitful. I am a coward. I'm stupid. I hurt my master. I don't deserve love. I don't deserve forgiveness. I only deserve to suffer."
And so that post, that really, like, him photo of him crying and upset and this really heavy language was because he got into a hot tub with a friend without asking Master Dylan's permission first. And Dylan responded, essentially making him feel like shit more.
Yeah, well, Dylan commented on the post as well, like further sort of, yeah, solidifying that he'd really done the wrong thing. He'd really overstepped the line.
And this is another thing where people point to when they say, okay, well, this seems different. This doesn't seem like a dom-sub relationship. This seems abusive. And I kind of get this as well. But then the fact that it's on Tumblr and they're both commenting, I don't know, people cultivate this submissive persona, right?
Jack has moved across the world to be this man. He probably doesn't have any social connections that don't involve Master Dylan. So I could see it being a legitimate cry for help. But yeah, also, we don't know how much it plays into it, or it played into, like, you know, the dynamic of their relationship. And if this was almost a game, we don't know. That's where it gets tough.
It was soon after this post that Chapman, like all of the other pups that served Master Dylan, began to do these injections with silicone into their genitals.
Those balls were massive, though. Those balls, it didn't turn me on, but I was perplexed. My eyes were just, I couldn't stop looking.
I've seen a lot of photos. So you can do it on your balls, and you can also do it on, like, the shaft of your dick, and so that enlarges as well. So you can enlarge the whole thing. I think the satisfaction, I've heard the satisfaction is at least partly that it, like, you have a sense of heaviness there and it slaps around. But these, obviously, injecting silicon into your genitals impacts how they function in various ways, and it impacts your ability to have sex. It impacts your ability to have, like, sexual enjoyment if you overdo it. And so there's something going on there that I think it is tied to a psychology that I don't quite understand about this whole idea about getting big, I think.
Because there were so many posts that were, like, worshipping, like, these giant balls and his giant body. There was a big following that just, like, kept on demanding him to get bigger and bigger and saying how much they loved it.
This adds another complicating factor into the narrative of Master Dylan being the one that's responsible for Chapman engaging in this practice, because I don't think it was just Master Dylan playing that role here. Clearly, this huge social media following of people eroticizing their bodies as they changed must have made them feel good, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's obviously...
Master definitely pushed, but there were other people behind as well, you know?
Yeah, and also, like, I'm assuming Chapman got a sense of gratification himself from the whole thing. So that's an interesting kind of dynamic. He got injections done by, all we know is, some guy in Sacramento. Chapman, on his Tumblr, refused to post details. And I think this is important. He said, "I will not refer any readers to any resources detailing this information. If you seek to pursue it, you're doing so at your own risk." So that came from Chapman. He seemed to be aware of some risks associated with it. One of the main ones, of course, is that silicon, unlike saline, isn't reabsorbed into the body naturally. It kind of hangs around there. And if it gets into your circulatory system, then it has a risk of causing some sort of embolism.
That's how one of their friends died, right?
Yeah. So before Chapman's death, somebody that was known to Master Dylan, it's not known if he was known to Chapman himself, a guy named Peter Dovak, who was 30 years old, actually died of a pulmonary embolism related to silicone injecting. And now this is kind of a story that's come out after Chapman died. Dovak contacted Master Dylan, who referred him to this guy named Joe Quadar, who was like an office manager, I think. He had no medical expertise. He just knew how to get medical grade silicone.
Probably not how to inject it.
Well, so this Quadar guy injected Dovak 3 times, and on the 4th time, he nicked Dovak's vein, and he ended up pumping liquid silicone into Dovak's bloodstream, which traveled to his lungs, caused an embolism, and then Dovak died soon after. Master Dylan reacted to this and actually posted in his newsletter that free silicone is a very dangerous thing to have in your body. The risk is extremely high, and a misplaced injection almost always results in death. So Master Dylan, this is in 2017, was warning his followers about injecting silicone. There was a police investigation against Quadar, but he committed suicide before he could be brought to trial.
But yeah, allegedly after this happened, Master Dylan forbid Jack from getting any more silicone enhancements and said that, yeah, he didn't want him to go down that path anymore. But yeah, it's hard for us to know, obviously, if that's true, but that's what he said.
Master Dylan, at least publicly, was warning followers against silicone injections. I wonder if he was worried about liability for himself at this point, although he wasn't directly involved in injecting. I mean, it's on the record that he referred him to Quadar.
Yeah, and I mean, he was obviously, him and his circles that he surrounded himself with, obviously, like, you know, glamorizing this movement.
Mm.
Like all questionably toxic relationships, this one did end with an initial breakup. On the 7th of December 2016, Tom Chapman messaged a friend on Facebook indicating that he was kind of done with the relationship. On the 7th of December 2016, Chapman messaged one of his friends on Facebook kind of indicating he was done with the relationship. He said, "Keep it to yourself. But for my own sake, I need to develop an exit strategy for myself. It's a little scary because I don't have a lot of savings or know too many people." So he did end up leaving a couple of months later in March while Master Dylan was on a trip to Japan.
He left at 11 p.m. at night, which I just thought was an interesting note. Like,
maybe the flight was at 11, so he knew he was safe from then on. I don't know.
Well, I mean, well, this is what I'm talking about. Like, the sense of safety, like, when you're breaking up with someone in a regular relationship, I don't know if you wait until they're out of town and then flee at 11 p.m.
Yes, probably not. And then there's this really like sort of triumphant video of his friend using like bolt cutters and cutting off his padlock necklace. And he does seem quite genuinely happy and free after this.
Yeah, they went to like a hardware store and cut off the collar. Master Dylan, at least publicly, appeared to take it well. In his Noodles and Beef newsletter, he put up a photo of Chapman and said, "Thank you for everything, Tank. I hope only for your happiness and success," which I don't know if it's PR or whether or not he did have kind of genuine feelings at that point that he was happy for that to go. I mean, this guy has a lot of boyfriends. Like, I don't know how much he's invested in the individual ones.
All we know is in April 26, 2017, Chapman's friend Tanner Gittins messaged him on Facebook, kind of asking what had gone down between him and Master Dylan. Chapman said that he'd reached the limit of what he could take. He was being emotionally abusive, making me feel awful constantly. There wasn't enough room for me to have my own friends, my own interests, my own ambitions in the relationship, which kind of fits with the contract that, you know, Jack Chapman had to sign upon officially entering into this relationship with Master Dylan.
He uses the term emotionally abusive in this message, but then the other parts of it seem to indicate what I would characterize as kind of normal relationship feelings of like, well, he didn't have enough time for me. I wanted to do my own thing. And so again, lots of people have seized on this message as indicative that Master Dylan was inherently abusive, but I think it's worth pointing out that there's probably multiple ways that people can use the term emotionally abusive without it being this really intense thing.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, he'd reached his, you know, breaking point or limit in that relationship, whatever had actually transpired. After they broke up, they ended up getting into a financial dispute. This communication ended up with them getting back together.
And then that communication led to Chapman returning to Master Dylan as part of the relationship. But then soon after he returned, Chapman blocked all of his friends on social media, which set off alarm bells for people. I mean, the narrative that I heard that he initially blocked everyone and then he kind of unblocked people as he was going along. But again, odd behavior there.
Yeah, and then Chapman sent out a message in November. Everything that I said was more than just spite. There were malicious lies with the intention of damaging both him and his reputation. Master Dylan has not done anything wrong except making the mistake of trusting me. And for that, I am sorry to both you and him.
So he posted this in a message to one of his friends, and the friend said, oh, okay, I didn't want to, you know, think anything bad about your boyfriend. And Chapman's response to it was a bit strange. He said, it's not okay. What I did was a horrible thing. Again, difficult to understand the full context of these things. We didn't know their full relationship.
Yeah, but there was, in Master Dylan's newsletter, he kind of put out a bit of a scathing review of Jack Chapman's behavior. He'd said that Jack had spent much of the breakup spreading hurtful gossip about him and that he was afraid that he was still doing it.
And that message had this weird thing where Master Dylan had like a 10-point scale and he was like, and I'm going to rate on this scale how much I trust Chapman. Well, he said Tank, but Chapman. And he said that he would rate him no higher than 3 in terms of trust. Now, this is after they've reconciled.
I guess it's that kind of you got to earn your place back type thing, you know.
So even Chapman's friends, when interviewed afterwards about all this stuff, said that they didn't know how to take all of this. Like, they didn't know where the submissive theater ended and what could be considered kind of more problematic signs of abuse. 3 weeks prior to his death, Chapman signed over all of his belongings to Master Dylan in his will. Now, Chapman himself wasn't very financially secure. In fact, he was like borderline homeless at many points. However, Chapman had just received $200,000 from his father that had died. Ultimately, Chapman died on the 15th of October, 2018. He was initially hospitalized because of pneumonia in his lungs, and that led to hemorrhaging on his lungs. But the ultimate cause of death was what they termed silicon embolism syndrome. Subcutaneously injected silicon into his testicles had led to silicon getting into his circulatory system, which impacted his lungs, which ended up killing him due to hemorrhaging in the lungs. Now, the early reports of his death were reacted to really strangely by Master Dylan. He seemed to deny it and act like it was just a rumor until eventually it was fully confirmed. I think because Chapman's employer at the time sent around a message to co-workers informing them of the death.
But I think he even went as far as to say, like, you know, guys, like, stop spreading these rumors. Like,
Chapman's really upset.
Yeah. It's like, he's dead.
Yeah.
I don't know how you thought you'd get away with this.
And he knew it. He knew it at that point. Yeah, I don't know what that was about. After Chapman's death, obviously there was a huge amount of media publicity. It's an unusual case. Most of the online presence of Master Dylan has now been taken down. His newsletter has gone down. His website is down. It was replaced. I think it might still be there. It was replaced with a memorial page for Chapman. The police were notified of the matter. The police reviewed the medical files and concluded that there wasn't a criminal matter to be pursued at that time. There may be in the future. Chapman's mother, Linda Chapman, who I really feel for because this is, I mean, she the interviews that I've seen with her is that she just seems like a Melbourne mum who this is a completely unusual and horrific experience for her to go through. From her point of view, she viewed the whole thing with Master Dylan as a cult, and she holds him personally responsible. There was a controversial confrontation between Chapman's mother and Master Dylan on an Australian kind of current affairs show called The Project over this kind of will dispute. Master Dylan initially said that he was willing to give the money to Chapman's younger brother who has autism, but essentially said that he wasn't going to do it because Chapman's mother was being very, like, aggressive towards him. This is all displayed on The Project. There is claims that the project misrepresented this story, and Master Dylan did, I believe he filed a lawsuit against the project, which caused them to pull down that story. So I kind of want to slap a allegedly over all of that.
From the footage in the episode, he clearly didn't know that there was a program being filmed when he arrived. I was so shocked to see the project did a story about this, and they talked about everything like fairly frankly, you know?
Yeah, well, I think, yeah, if you're an international listener, the project's kind of like a very light news story type show, but they obviously got some interest there. I think because, I mean, Linda Chapman is a very sympathetic person and she's gone through a lot, and I think trying to decipher what actually happened was important. I'm not sure I'm entirely on board with how they framed this whole thing as kind of this weird cult situation. I feel like that's maybe getting into a territory of not really understanding how these relationships can actually work and not be abusive.
Yeah, that part I understood was the project. I was like, I'm not going to expect them to be informed and enlightened about diverse sexual relationships. Healthy,
the latest development is in late 2019, Linda Chapman has actually filed a wrongful death suit against Master Dylan. And as far as I'm aware, that is still ongoing. The facts are still to emerge in relation to this civil suit, so I don't want to speculate on it. And certainly us describing the story is just to kind of convey what we know about the case, which is a limited picture. And I wanted to kind of just throw that caution in there. We're relying a lot on media reports, and I imagine there is going to be a more well-rounded picture to come out of this lawsuit if it does proceed to a full trial. Thank you for listening to the Sinister Sissies podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Sinister Sissies. You can follow me on Twitter at Jared Bartle. That's Jared with a Y. You can follow us on Instagram at Sinister_Sissies. And we would be incredibly grateful if you could support us on Patreon. We are planning something special for October for the Halloween season. So if you want to check that out, please sign up to our Patreon.
Let's get spooky.
And until next time, stay sinister.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.